It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 15 and read to the end of the chapter. And so please that you would, I hope you're able to follow along with me as we read that. While you're looking up Joshua chapter 2, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, our address there is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Joshua chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless at this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou dost let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brother and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we shall be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window, and they went and came into the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered unto our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the precious word. Thank you, Father, for the day. I thank you for your power and for your strength. Now please show us your way and will with these precious words. It is so exciting to be able to open your word and to study it and to look at it, to grow. And we know, dear Father, the only way that we know your way and will is one way, and that is to be born again. And I ask, dear Father, that all that are listening to this program, that they know you as their Savior. They don't take for granted that they're standing upon works, but they're standing upon your word, the truth, which tells us we must be born again. No matter how young or how old, the decision is each individual. And Father, we know that we just need to call upon you for salvation, that our heart can be made new, that our soul saved, and we can sit and enjoy and praise and honor your precious name. So please today, dear Lord, guide and lead us now as we study your precious word. Bring us to salvation, bring us to the cross of Calvary, and Father, bring us to walk with you each and every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Again, what a wonderful study we have, and we're going to back up just a little bit today. If you've been with the studies very long, you'll realize that I do always spend a little bit of time in review, coming back through the scripture, because we see from time to time all these things that are so wonderful, and it's hard to bring them together. And as I continue to read and study God's precious word, these things, they're just continuing to open up, and that I can share them with you. And I hope that you enjoy these words. I want you to back up just a little bit with me. as we look to this 12th verse. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house. Give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brother, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this business, and if it be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. It is a wonderful study here. And we find with the Philippian jailer, as Paul and Silas are brought out of the jail, and the jailer falls on his knees before them and says, what can I do to be saved? And of course, he says, you know, believe upon the only begotten Son of God, believe on Jesus. And he did. And he had taken then Paul and Silas, invited them to his house. And before the day was over, his household was saved. It doesn't mean that because the father trusted in Jesus that then all the house is safe. It is that when a leadership, when people trust in Jesus, and you bring that gospel, that precious saving grace to others that you know and love, and many times your family members, we hope and we pray that they are saved too, that they make that same decision and trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That is our hope. That should be our prayer. We should shed tears for our family members, that they know the Lord as their Savior, that they will go to heaven and not hell. And we see here, and this is something that we didn't really talk about last time we were together, look at who this Rahab is concerned about. She didn't say, listen, I want you to protect me. You protect me and my possessions. That's what I want. Now, you give me your word that you do that. Again, let's look at those words in verse 12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Yes, she is included in that, but she's not the first. Look at who she's talking about. She's talking about her family. She wants her family saved. And she is speaking to these men of God, these spies, on behalf of her family, because she wants her family saved. Oh, that we bring our children to the Lord Jesus. I hear so often that parents say, I had a choice to make, and I am not going to pressure my children in any way, any certain kind of religion. And when they grow up, then they will be able to decide for themselves which way they want to go and what religion they want to be a part of. And so I think it's just right that we do that. That is not right. We need to influence our children for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to show them the plan of salvation. We need to pray for them even before they're born. And you can't imagine the difference if we pray that our children would be born again. You know, we pray that our children be successful in business, that they will marry and have a good family and things like that. But we seem to forget the most important thing, and that is that they find Jesus Christ as their Savior so they can lead their family to Jesus. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Rahab didn't miss that. Didn't miss that. She saw the power. She saw the condition of the men of Jericho and of the land of Canaan in relationship to the power of God that was coming before them in this nation of Israel and before them. And she recognized that. She knew, she by faith knew that this God of Israel could save her. She trusted in the God of Israel more than she trusted in her own feelings and emotions and her own people. She didn't trust her own people. She saw God and she knew. She is quoted as we've read, God has given this land to you. I know that. Look at what this lady has learned. Look at what she knows. Isn't it so wonderful to see that she didn't have a Bible to read. She was going on what she had heard people talk about. She had not seen the Red Sea departed. She did not see the defeat of the enemies that she talks about here with the Amorites, I believe it was. Yes, in verse 10. She probably didn't see any of that. It was all reports that she had heard, but she knew it was to be true. And she trusted in the God and in the people, the nation of Israel, enough that she turned on her own. But my point is right now that I want you to see that she desired her family to be saved. We need to pray for our families. They must be saved. She didn't just depend upon herself. Today, the philosophy, and that is all it is, and I am so saddened and heartbroken in our schools. Our schools, it's all philosophy. It's all those things. We no longer concentrate on reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's all on the philosophy of the of the teachers speaking to the children. You know, they're concerned about what's going on in the home. Is there abuse in the home? They spend more time with that. Teach the kids. That's your responsibility. Nothing else. And we need to pray for our schools. We need to pray for the teachers that they awaken. Because today, you can't touch a child in discipline. Well, look what Proverbs 22:15 says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. We must discipline our children. God gave me a hand, and he gave my children a bottom and my grandchildren a bottom, and that hand meets that bottom on occasion whenever it's necessary. And we have to discipline our children because that is the only way that they will learn to respect anyone. Now, the schools, the philosophy of government and man is totally contrary to that. And that's the reason we have the mess that we have in our schools and with our children today. We need to discipline them. But more than disciplining them, we need to bring them to Jesus Christ and show them the truth. Don't give them the opportunity to just wait and see what they do, because that old devil is going to throw everything in their face, and that old devil is going to steal our children. If you don't care about your children enough, that you don't care that when you gave birth to them and you're not going to bring them to Jesus Christ, you have condemned them and damned them to hell. That's what you've done. So wake up, begin to share the gospel with your family members, your children, your parents, your in-laws, whoever you're around. Share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. That's what we're here to do as believers in Jesus Christ. Please. We need to tell our children, we need to tell our family members that Jesus died on the cross to save them. And so we find that this lady did just that. She was, yes, she was concerned about herself, but she knew the God and the people that could save her. And she called upon them. Now let's see what takes place here, because we find that she is asking for her family. And let's see what takes place. Now we're going on down to verse 15 here. Then let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Okay, she has allowed these two spies now to escape. And we find that that there has been an agreement here with them. The men answered here in verse 14, "For our lives, for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." All right, she had the promise of these people. And so she left them down. She gave them some advice. She said, go up into the mountains and wait there for 3 days. You need to remain there 3 days. Isn't it something how many times through the Word of God we have the 3 days? You know, Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the earth. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, all showing us and reminding us of the precious work that Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary, and then 3 days later was alive. So they were to hide for 3 days until their pursuers be returned, and afterwards they may ye go your way. That's in verse 16. And so in verse 17, now listen very carefully. The men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Our words good. Verse 18, behold, when we come into the land that shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou dost let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brother and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house unto the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. In other words, the men agree, we will protect you. We will care for your family and their households. Bring them into your house. There's something you need to do. You need to lower down this scarlet thread, a line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou dost let us down by. And so in the window, probably the window that they escaped through, she was to put this little scarlet rope, this thread in the window. And that would be their protection. Anyone that's under the roof of that house that has that scarlet thread hanging there will be safe. It says, now, if anyone leaves this house, goes out from under this scarlet thread, under your roof that this scarlet thread hangs in the window, anybody goes out of this home, out of this place, their blood, if something happens to them, and it will, their blood will be upon their own shoulders. But if something by chance happens, and it won't, but if something happens, that their blood is on us. We are taking full responsibility. That's what these two spies are saying. In other words, you will be safe. Stay in. Now, the next thing that had to happen is, as she will go out and bring her family in, will they listen? You see, it's always a personal choice. There's a requirement here, and that requirement is to come underneath that scarlet thread in that window. Come under the roof of the house that scarlet thread hangs. The same rope or the same thread that let these spies down and allowed them to escape into to be free. And we'll read here in just a little bit, gets back to Joshua for the report. And so as we set this before us, the only people in the city of Jericho that are going to live, the only people are going to be the people that's under this roof. Now, the only people that's going to have life everlasting in Jesus Christ, a home in heaven with him, is those that have trusted in the scarlet thread being the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He shed that blood on the cross of Calvary. There is no other way of salvation. None. She believed in these spies. She believed in the God that sent these spies. She believed in the people that God was bringing into this land. It's yours. It's your land. Will you please save me? That's what she wanted. Will you please save me? And so in doing this, in taking care of this, we see that there was one way Only one way. If you go out from under this room, this house with the scarlet thread, if you go away, you're not going to be safe. Let's go back to another story that we have that we've studied and enjoyed very much through the years, and that is the first Passover. Remember, they were to kill the Passover lamb, they were to catch the blood, and they were to take the blood and they were to put it over the doorpost and the lintel, and then that night that the death angel was to come through, you had to be inside that house that the doorpost was had the blood over it. You had to be inside the house. If you're outside the house, you weren't safe. You were going to die. Same here with Jericho. If you were outside this house with this scarlet thread, you see, it's all the same. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ, the saving blood. There is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only one way. There is no other way but through the blood of Jesus. It was represented here with the blood of this lamb that was put upon the doorpost. You're covered by the blood if you're inside the house. If you're covered by the blood, you're by this rope, this scarlet rope, scarlet blood-dipped rope, so to speak, that was covering this house. You stay in that household, you will be safe. Any place else, you're going to die. And if you don't come to the cross of Calvary, if you're not saved, so many folks trust in works. So many folks think they're good enough. So many folks believe that it's a certain church that they belong to or they've been baptized. None of that. None of that is necessary. Much of it is good to belong to a good Bible-believing church. It's wonderful to follow the Lord in baptism after you're saved. But none of that brings you a salvation. None of that brings you life. It is coming by faith. Just turn unto Jesus today and be saved. Just as these people turned into this house and stayed as the enemy will come. And we're going to see, does she get any takers? You wonder with the nation of Israel back in the days of Exodus when there was the last plague and the firstborn was going to die and God gave them the plans of the Passover so that they could put the blood on the lintel and the doorposts for safety. How many Israelites did not come underneath that blood? How many stood out in the street because they didn't believe it? We're not told. But every time it is your choice and your decision to believe, to come by faith and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for you. Please, my friend, don't trust in anything else. I don't care, again, how old or how young you are. Do not trust in anything but the precious blood, saving blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice, the offering he did on the cross for you. Please trust in that today. We must come by faith to him. Once again, we'll find out how many come under this roof to do it, but it has to be. Now, the deal was, if you tell anybody what we're going to do, then it's off. It's over with. And so they were to be still about the plans, and Rahab was. She didn't tell anybody except those that she trusted to come, and they trusted to come in. We'll see who believes and who listens. So now in verse 21, and she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. They come down and went and hid that 3 days, and departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Soon as she got done, she hung this scarlet line. A lot of people don't recognize its importance. Just like I'm telling you right now, you're not believing that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and the only way to get your sins forgiven, the only way to have life here and now. You're not believing me. Well, many people looked at that scarlet thread, had no idea what that was. And you may be the same way now when I talk about the blood of Jesus. But everybody that didn't believe died. You're going to die in your sins. You're going to die because you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You see, there's eternal life or eternal death for everybody. And when you say eternal death, that means you're going to die forever. You're going to continue. You think you're in pain and suffering now. You know, you may be old, but if you die in that condition, you're going to stay in that condition and worsen and worsen and worsen, but you can't die because it's everlasting. Oh, my friend, I don't want anybody. I don't hate anyone that I would ever desire that they would not come by faith to Jesus. Put this scarlet line, and they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. The pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered unto our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. You remember that word faint last time? To melt, to literally disappear. Their fear is so great of this people and their God. Oh, what our life and our world has deserted and have left. There is no fear. The people of God, the people of the world do not fear the people of God because God is with us in any way. And there's a heaven to gain, there's a life to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And please, that you come by faith to Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, this report, much different than the report of the 12 spies that went in from Kadesh Barnea earlier, some almost 40 years earlier, as they went into the promised land to check it out, and they came out, and oh my, they're too big, they're too mean, we can't stand against them, we can't take them. Yes, it's flowing with milk and honey, everything that you said, God, everything you said is right, but I don't trust you. Now, these two spies went in. They didn't go in to see whether God was powerful enough. They went in to see how to do it. You go in and check it out just to see how we're going to come in. We need a plan here, and we're going to do a plan. But it wasn't a matter whether they would or would not. And when they came back, you know, God has delivered unto our hands all this land. And they would have had the same result if they would have went in and brought the proper report back 40 years earlier. But instead of that, for 40 years, a generation had to die, the generation that was too blind to trust in God. That generation had to die in the wilderness. And sad that those that were under the age of 20, that they had to suffer for 40 years in the wilderness because of the ignorance of their parents. And once again, I'm going to ask you, don't let your children just kind of find their own way. If you're a born-again believer, you tell them about Jesus because there is only one way. And you say, Larry, you're pretty short-sighted. Yes, I am. When it comes to salvation, God has only given us one way. There is one book, there is one God, and there's one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord, period. That's it. There is no other way. And so please, don't tag some works onto it. Don't do any of those things. Just recognize what faith can do. Faith can save your soul. Faith can bring salvation to your household. Faith can give you eternal life and a life that is joyful today. It begins the second you get saved, not the second that you die. So please, they came back with this wonderful report, and they were protected by Rahab, and Rahab kept her word, and these two spies kept their word. And we're going to see now, when they come upon this land, when we get that third chapter, we're going to see what's going to take place. Oh, they're beginning here. They're starting to do what they the move through, and the first thing we're going to see is we're going to see that Ark of the Covenant come over next to that old roaring Jordan River, and they're going to have to cross it. Oh, what a wonderful day it's going to be when we get to that place. But please tell your family members about Jesus. If you don't know Jesus yourself, please trust the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So please, today, trust in Jesus. Trust Him with all your heart. Just turn unto Him, and He will save you. He will keep you. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?